Brother Johnson, you there?
Okay, can you hear now?
Yes.
Okay. So I'd like to study tonight concerning the fear of the Lord. I appreciate the song being sung. In the Old Testament, there are two Hebrew words used for the word fear. And the first one, 6343, is used also concerning fear of the Lord in the sense of physically being afraid. In 1 Samuel 11, verse 7, and he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And here it is, the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. So they were afraid. Physically afraid. So this word is a sudden alarm or startled by a sudden alarm for the verb. All right, in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 14, we see the same word again. It's used in the sense of being physically afraid. 2 Chronicles 14, 14. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities. For there was exceeding much spoil in them. And again, we'll not read the next one in 2 Chronicles 17:10. The nations were afraid, and the fear of the Lord fell on these kingdoms. In Isaiah 2 and verse 10, again, he uses the same word in the sense of being physically afraid. Isaiah 2:10, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord. That's fear of the Lord, Jehovah. And for the glory of his majesty. Each one is fear of the Lord, fear of Jehovah. The same thing, we'll not look at it in the scripture, Isaiah 2:19 and Isaiah 2:21. All right, let's turn now to Deuteronomy 2, verse 25. Deuteronomy 2 and verse 25. We're looking at the second word. It's used for fear in the Old Testament. And it also is used in the sense of being physically afraid. Deuteronomy 2:25, this day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee, there's your word, upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. So this word is defined as fearing or morally being reverent. Also the verb is just to fear. In Ezekiel 30 and verse 13, again, the word is used as being physically afraid of something bad happening. Ezekiel 30, verse 13, thus saith the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols, and I will cause their images to cease out of Noph, and there shall be no more a prince of the land of Egypt. And I will put a fear in the land of Egypt. There's your word right there. So it's being physically afraid. So Ezekiel 1:18, the same when Ezekiel saw the wheels in a vision that were dreadfully high. And that's 33:74, this word that's also used in the fear of the Lord. So the word is also used in the expression, the fear of the Lord, in the sense of Psalms 34, verses 9 and 10. Let's turn there. Psalms 34, verses 9 and 10. Now, I've not found this word, 33:74, used in the sense of fear of the Lord as being physically afraid. We have found it as we saw that it was fear, physical fear, but not in the expression, the fear of the Lord. We find something different here. In Psalms 34, verses 9 and 10, O fear the Lord, there's your word again, you his saints, for there is no want, that's deficiency, to them that fear him. So there's a blessing for those that fear the Lord in this word. The young lions do lack, they're destitute and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want, that is, lack any good thing. So you notice he combines the fear of the Lord here with those that are seeking the Lord. And we'll find in other scriptures, it's the same way. These are very close. In fact, probably akin to each other. In Proverbs 16, verse 6, the Lord gives many promises to those who have the fear of the Lord. And we see this expression, rather than being physically afraid, in this phrase with this word 3374. Proverbs 16, verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So there's one blessing for this fear of the Lord. That's how we depart from evil. In Proverbs 14, verse 27, more blessings. Proverbs 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord, and all this is the same word, 3374. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. There's one blessing. To depart from the snares of death, there's another blessing. So the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And of course, it's not physical life. It's a fountain of spiritual life, eternal life. In Psalms 111, verse 10, Psalms 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's the usual word for wisdom, 24:51. A good understanding have all they that do. And that his commandments is not in the Hebrew. But a good understanding are they that do fear the Lord. His praise endures forever. In Proverbs 9 and verse 10, Proverbs 9 and verse 10, he says the same thing as Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if we want wisdom, this is the way to begin it. And that is having this fear he's talking about. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. In Proverbs 15 and verse 33, Proverbs 15 and verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, not the beginning, but the instruction of wisdom itself. And before honor is humility. So if we want the instruction of wisdom, where do we go? We start with the fear of the Lord. If we want wisdom, we start with this fear he's talking about here. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if we want the knowledge of God, we need to start here with this kind of fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So he gives a definition here, which of course fits with what is taught of the fear of the Lord in Psalms 34. And that is to turn away or depart from evil. This is to hate evil. So if we're going to fear the Lord, then we will hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. And in Proverbs 10 and verse 27, Proverbs 10, and verse 27, just like honoring one's parents, the fear of the Lord promises longer physical life. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So he's not talking about spiritual life here. He's talking about life here on earth, physical life. And this fear of the Lord does prolong days. So we need to understand and know what this fear of the Lord is. Proverbs 19 and verse 23. Again, this is spiritual life, eternal life. The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. So there are several blessings there if we have this kind of the fear of the Lord. It tends to life, and he that hath it abides satisfied, and he that has it shall not be visited with evil. So there's some pretty good blessings there for this kind of the fear of the Lord. And we'll see more of what this fear is, Lord willing, in a few scriptures. Proverbs 14 and verse 26, more blessings for this kind of fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Two good promises there if we have this kind of fear of the Lord. Then in Psalms 20, or Proverbs 22, verse 4, Proverbs 22 and verse 4, it promises spiritual riches and God's honor and eternal life. By humility and the fear of the Lord, both of them are riches, they're spiritual riches, and honor, God's honor, and life, eternal life. So humility needs to be combined with this kind of fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 23 and verse 17, more blessings. Proverbs 23 and verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. So if we obey that, we'll have all those blessings we've already read about. All right, there's one scripture here I'd like us to pay close attention to, and that's Proverbs 1:29. God expects men to choose the fear of the Lord. All right, he says, Proverbs 1:29, for that they hated knowledge, talking about the people that have rejected wisdom, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So if we don't choose the fear of the Lord, we won't get wisdom. And the Lord expects us then to choose this fear of the Lord. So we definitely need to know what it is and know how to get it. All right, let's go to Psalms 34, where he says he'll teach us the fear of the Lord. And this, of course, is very important. This is a psalm of David, and who knew the fear of the Lord better than David? Nevertheless, this was inspired by God's Holy Spirit, and he definitely knows what the fear of the Lord is. All right, come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So notice he's calling us children. So if we think we're adults, we might not be qualified here. But if we're children of God and expect to be treated like children, then we'll respond to this. We need to learn. Hearken unto me, you children, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And that's fear of Jehovah. So again, like repentance, we don't lose our repentance, even if that repentance begins with fear. We continue with that new mind. And just like the new mind, we continue with this this fear of the Lord, even after we are complete. Psalms 34, verse 12. What man is he that desires life? So here's your fear of the Lord, and loves many days. Why? That he may see good. So he's not desiring life to enjoy it. He's not loving many days to enjoy them. He desires life and loves many days because he's got a motive here. He wants to see good. And we find in the New Testament, there's one good, that is God. This man wants to see God. Is he going to seek God? So we see these expressions, the fear of the Lord and seeking God, are very close. Verse 13, the second thing we do if we are going to have this fear of the Lord is to keep our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking guile. Guile is tricking somebody. We don't want to speak any kind of evil, and we don't want to treat someone with guile, deceive anybody. Then we need to depart from evil. That's the third part of going away from evil. And then the fourth part, we need to do good. Then we've seen good in verse 12. Then we need to do good. That's this fear of the Lord. And then after we do good, we need to seek peace with God. Of course, with men if we can. But definitely seek peace with God and then pursue that. And the more we turn away from evil and the more we turn toward good, the more peace we're going to have with God, and we can pursue that peace with God. So there's your fear of the Lord in the instruction that David gives. So we need to pay very close attention to that and notice the similarity now to New Testament repentance. And as I mentioned before, I don't find this fear of the Lord in the sense of being physically afraid, but I do find a similarity between this fear of the Lord and repentance. If we have New Testament repentance, do we turn away from evil and do we turn toward good? And of course, that's exactly what the new mind is. in the New Testament. Repentance, again, penitence, in mind. In the Greek, it's to have a new mind. So here's your new mind in Mark 8, verse 35. Mark 8 and verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. So here's a new mind. We lose our life for Christ's sake and for the gospel's sake. So both negative and positive. Turn away from our own ways to live as we want and turn toward Christ to live as he wants us to live. And there's a promise, very clear. If we don't turn away from our own life, what happens? It's a promise of God. We'll lose it. But if we do turn toward him and lose our life for his sake in the gospel, we will save it. There's a promise from him. So here in the Old Testament, we turn from evil and turn toward good. Here we turn away from living for self to living for Christ. Living for Christ is living for good. Do we see the similarity between Old Testament repentance and New Testament, Old Testament fear of the Lord and New Testament repentance? And I don't find the word repentance used in the Old Testament concerning having the new mind like we do in the New Testament. Now, it may be there, but I haven't found it. If you find it, let me know. But I've found mostly repentance in the Old Testament is what God does, not what man does. But there is one time at least where it's a man then fears, and it's in the sense of sighing for what he's already done. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, we have New Testament repentance, the new mind. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. And in that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So there's a big change. If we don't live unto ourselves anymore, does that sound like losing our life that we just read? But unto him which died for us, we live for him that died for us and rose again, that's living for Christ. Complete change. And then in verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Does this sound like a new mind? If everything old is gone and everything is new, it sounds like a complete change. Besides old things of self, they've passed away. Everything is made new. Now we're living only for Christ. That's a new life. That's a new mind. And once we have that new mind, we keep that mind forever. We don't ever lose it. So repentance in the New Testament is not something that we lose. What about fear of the Lord in the Old Testament? It's not something that we lose. We always determine to stay away from evil and always determine to seek good and to do it. In Psalms 19 and verse 9, God plans that the fear of the Lord is eternal. He says, the fear of the Lord is clean, Psalms 19:9, enduring forever. There's your 5703, which is eternity. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So once we get this fear of the Lord, it is clean and it endures, literally stands forever, for eternity. Well, that's the kind of fear of the Lord we want. This is not something of being physically afraid because physical things are not going to last forever. But this fear of the Lord stands forever. In Psalms 34, verses 12 to 14, that we just read a moment ago, the Old Testament fear of the Lord is much more than just turning from evil. We turn to see good. We turn to do good. We seek peace with God. Isn't that eternal? So like New Testament repentance, it involves turning from evil to do good. In Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 4, Now we want to see how we can understand the fear of the Lord, what's necessary before we can understand the fear of the Lord. So when we're finding out how, we ask, how many actually understand the fear of the Lord? Proverbs 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, number one, hide my commandments with you so we don't lose them, number two, so that we incline our ear to wisdom, number three, and apply our heart to understanding, number four, if we cry after knowledge, number five, lift up our voice for understanding, number six, verse four, if you seek for her as silver, number seven, and search for her as for hid treasures, number eight, if we do all these things, then a promise in verse five, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then, after we've done these eight things, so how many have done these eight things and think that they understand the fear of the Lord? Well, if we've done these eight things, then we can assume that he's fulfilled his promise. There's a promise in verse five. If you do those things, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. So is it conditional? It looks like it is. And then in verse nine, then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. So how do we understand this righteousness, judgment, and equity? By doing these eight things he mentioned in verses 1 through 4. And in verse 6, why is it true? Because the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth goes knowledge and understanding. So if we're going to get it, where does it have to come from? It has to come from God. And if we don't do the things that he requires of us, why would he give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding? In Psalms 14 and verse 2, let's turn there. Psalms 14 and verse 2, what do these people understand when the Lord finds them? The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. So here is a man who understands. What does he understand? He might just understand these things that we're talking about here. All right, if we understand the fear of the Lord, then we have a chance to turn away from evil and do good. So here God is seeking for a certain kind of people. He's looking for us. Are we that kind? So how does this differ from New Testament repentance? I don't see much difference. Psalms 25, verses 9 through 14. The Lord only teaches his way to certain people. And who are these? Psalms 25, verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment. That word meek in the Old Testament is a nav, translated most of the time, humility. The meek will he teach, guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. So if we want to know the way of God, we are going to have to be humble. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So how many are intending to keep his covenant here in the New Testament, New Covenant? Well, if we're intending to keep it all, then we might qualify. And the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to all of those that keep his covenant and his testimonies. Verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that fears the Lord? Here he is. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So who's he going to teach? The ones that fear him. His soul shall dwell at ease. His seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. So who's he going to show his secret to? And that is the ones that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. So we want to know the covenant. We got to qualify. We got to fear him. We got to turn to seek good, we got to turn away from evil, we got to turn to do good and seek peace with God. Then he'll show us his covenant. He's looking for that kind of people. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 12, 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles 12, 13 and 14. Does the Lord require each soul to qualify to be accepted? So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil. Why? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. So is preparing one's heart to seek the Lord not the result of Old Testament fear of the Lord? When we're seeking the Lord, we're seeking good. That's the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1, verse 29. We read that previously, but we were reminding ourselves. For that they hated knowledge, Proverbs 1, 29, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So does the Lord not expect men to choose his fear? So we need to set our hearts to seeking good and choose that. And then choose to turn away from evil and choose to do good and to choose to make peace with God. In Acts the 13th chapter, verse 16, we find the same expression in the New Testament. Acts 13 and verse 16, were there souls in the New Testament that chose the fear of the Lord? Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hands, and said, "Men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience." So not just the men of Israel, but also the ones that feared God. Now, if someone in the audience there understood what it meant to fear the Lord, what would they conclude? "He's speaking to me." But if they didn't fear the Lord and didn't know what fear of the Lord was, what would they say? They'd say, "Who's he talking to?" So those who knew and had chosen the fear of the Lord would recognize that phrase. The Holy Spirit appealed to those who understood and feared the Lord. In Acts the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2, did Cornelius choose to fear the Lord? Acts 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So Cornelius was one that feared God. Did he choose it? He chose to fear the Lord. What about his house? All his house feared the Lord. They chose the fear of the Lord. What are we going to do? In Daniel 20, verse 20 and 21, does God give his wisdom and knowledge to just anybody? Daniel 2, 20 and 21. We've seen that those that fear the Lord get his wisdom and get his way, get his secret. And he says here, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times," Daniel 2, 21, "and the season. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." So God doesn't just give wisdom to anybody. He gives it to the wise, those that are seeking him, and to those that know understanding. We need to understand this fear of the Lord. In Job 1, verses 8 and 9, we're looking now at Job and the relation that he had to fear of the Lord. Job 1, verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil?" So notice, Satan then answers the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught?" So did Satan understand what it meant to fear God? He understood and said, "He's got a motive. Yeah, he fears you, but he's got a motive. What kind of fear did he have?" Well, let's check. So in verse 3, again, the Lord testified that Job was perfect and he feared the Lord. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? And still he holds fast his integrity, although you move me against him to destroy him without cause." So this word, 8552, is the same word complete, teleos, in the New Testament. It means to be complete. So Job was complete, and he also feared the Lord. Well, what does it mean to be complete? In James 3, verses 1 and 2. James 3, 1 and 2. My brethren, be not many masters, that is teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, judgment. For in many things we offend all. Here's the perfect man. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. So there's your test for a man that is perfect. He does not offend in word. So how many times is he going to sin? Well, not with his mouth. And able to bridle the whole body. So if he's able to bridle his whole body and not offend in word, how many times is he going to sin? So there's your perfect man. Job was that man. In Job 27, verses 3 and 4, Job 27, verses 3 and 4, Job had full confidence that he could control his mouth, just like we just read in James. Job 27, verse 3, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Remember, the perfect man did not err in word. Job was totally confident, and that's what he said the man that fears the Lord would be, totally confident. In Job 27, verse 5, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. Right? That word integrity here is 8538, literally innocence. So Job says, I will not remove my innocence. My righteousness, in verse 6, I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. So was he having any confidence there, or was he proud? Or did he understand what the perfect man was? We just read, if a man is perfect, he won't offend in word. He's able to bridle the whole body. Did Job offend in word? Job 2, verse 3, let's read about it. Job 2, verse 3, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect, there's your Telios, upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. So he's both complete and he fears God. And still he folds fast his integrity. There's his innocence. Same word, 8538. And by the way, that word comes from the word perfect. Although thou movest me to destroy him without cause. So God tells Satan, there's no cause for me to destroy him like I've done. Nevertheless, I've done it. And he was, of course, justified because he was forming Job's heart. But nevertheless, we see that Job was a perfect man. He could control his mouth. He could bridle his whole body. And he also feared God. So the one does not forestall the other. In Job 2 and verse 9 and 10, Job held on to this innocence and did not sin with his lips. Job 2, 9, then said his wife to him, dost thou still retain your integrity, your innocence? You've sinned, Job. Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall we not receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Well, who thinks that way, Job? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? So was he wrong? Well, God testifies here, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He was a perfect man. He did not offend with his mouth. So in Job 31, verses 3 to 6, the disagreement with Job's friends centered in Job's innocence. They said all this was happening to Job because Job sinned. Job says, no, I did not sin. It's not happening to me because I've sinned. What we just read, God testified, Satan moved God to destroy Job without cause. So he's not doing all this to Job because he sinned. Job 31, 3, is not destruction to the wicked and strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? That's Job speaking. Doth he not see my ways and count all my steps? Yes. If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know my integrity. There's your innocence again. So Job insisted that God knew he was innocent. Friends couldn't imagine that God would do all this to an innocent man. In Job 13 and verse 3, Job 13 and verse 3, did Job fear to approach God? Was he afraid of God? Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. Was Job afraid of him? Not in the least. In Job 23, verse 12 to 16, someone says, well, Job was afraid of God. Yes, but why? Job 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, even that he does. For he performs the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore, I'm troubled at his presence. When I consider, I'm afraid of him. Oh, is he afraid? Well, let's see why. For God makes my heart soft, and the Almighty troubles me. Verse 10, why is he afraid? But he knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So Job knew what God was doing with him. So in Job 13, he tells why he was afraid of God. Not that he wasn't willing to argue with God. He was willing to stand up with God and argue with God. So here's why he was afraid of God. Withdraw thine hand far from me, Job 13, 21. And let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. So Job wasn't a bit afraid of God, but he was afraid that God would make him suffer some more. Job 23, verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Job 23, verse 3, did Job fear to argue directly with God? Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Was Job afraid? I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. He wasn't a bit afraid. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. God would give him understanding. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he will put strength in me. So Job was afraid of God in the sense that he was liable to cause him to suffer more. But as far as being afraid of God, to talk with him, argue with him, deal with him, he wasn't a bit afraid. Well, perfect love does cast out fear. Job 28, verse 28. Job knew the results of the fear of God. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So Job understood where wisdom came from, and it comes by fear of the Lord. We just read that. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Job understood that. To depart from evil is understanding. God will give us understanding if we'll depart from evil. And it's true, this fear of the Lord here is, Lord is 136, which is Adon or Adon or Adonai. And this is another word for the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 19, verses 4 through 9. There's something in the fear of the Lord that may be more than just being afraid. 2 Chronicles 19, 4 through 9. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim. And notice what he did. He brought them back, the people, unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, notice how much Jehoshaphat understands, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there's no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking gifts. Did he know God? Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall you do, notice, in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. So if they had a perfect heart, then they need not fear. but they also were to be in the fear of the Lord, just like Job. Well, let's turn here to, we've only got a few minutes left here. Let's turn to Isaiah 11, verse 3. It was prophesied that Jesus would have understanding in the fear of the Lord. This is a prophecy about Jesus, Isaiah 11, and verse 3, and shall make him, this is a promise to Christ, of quick understanding, how? In the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. So God is going to make Jesus of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Now, we've already seen 8 things we need to do to understand the fear of the Lord. Jesus is going to be made of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Then Psalms 19, verse 9, it was prophesied that Jesus would have the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, talking about Jesus, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel and the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So if Jesus had the spirit of the fear of the Lord, should we? Even if it were one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he still had the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So this is what Jesus had. We need the same thing. Isaiah 33 and verse 6. Isaiah 33 and verse 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. So here, the fear of the Lord is God's treasure. Is that something that's only temporary? Psalms 33, verses 18 and 19. Psalms 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, there's your kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Those are the ones the Lord's going to listen to. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Then in Psalms 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivers them. We need to be that kind of people. Let's turn to Malachi, the second chapter, Malachi 2, verses 4 to 6. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi. That's the one God chose of the 12 tribes of Israel to be his priests, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, with Levi, of life and peace. Why? And I gave them my covenant with life and peace to him because of the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. Was he a perfect man? Iniquity was not found in his lips, the same as a perfect man. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. So did Levi fear the Lord? In the New Testament, Acts 9 and verse 31, Acts 9 and verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So this was a New Testament thing. We need to have it. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we need this kind of fear of God, and we can perfect holiness that way. Finally, Ephesians 5, verse 21, we are directed to submit to each other in his fear, submitting yourselves, verse 21, one to another in the fear of God. So whatever this fear is, we've seen that it is eternal, and it's either identical with or very close to repentance in the New Testament. And repentance in the New Testament is turning away from evil, turning toward Jesus to serve him. Old Testament fear of the Lord is turning away from evil to seek good and to do good. This we need throughout eternity. And this fear of the Lord is eternal. I have the closing hymn now.
The closing hymn will be song number 189 in the Blue Book. Song 189 in the Blue Book. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burdens, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you are to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you hang him, make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save you so that you need never fall? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you in his kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove him true each providential test? Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee.
Are there any other announcements for tonight?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you have given us tonight to study your word, and we pray, Father, that we would have remembrance of those examples that you have given us in your word of ones that feared you and walked according to your will. We pray, Father, that we would remember these things which we studied here tonight, and that we would walk according to your will, that we would hate evil and that we would depart from it, and that we would do your will in all things. We thank you, Father, for all that you do bless us with, and we know that you bless us with each breath and all the things that we do have. We pray, Father, that you would please be with the ones who are sick among us, that you would please heal Brother Glenn, if it be your will, and the others mentioned in the announcements. We pray for the ones that are still mourning the loss of loved ones, that you would please comfort them. We pray, Father, that we would be able to continue to worship here freely in this country without fear of persecution. We pray, Father, that we would be able to meet at the next time, if it be your will. And we thank you for everything you do bless us with. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Is y'all still there? Hello?
Hey, Francis.
Hi.
I was trying to say Sydney's surgery is early in the morning.
Okay.
Monday morning.
Well, he'll have our prayers.
Okay.
And where is that? Back,
Lexington.
Yeah, at Lexington Hospital.
Is Brother Johnson still online?
Yes, uh-huh.
I appreciate the lesson. It was very encouraging. Thank you.
That's good.
Thank you, Dad.
Yeah, that was super good.
Very good.
Is Brother Glenn on?
Brother Glenn tuned in this evening?
I'm on.
How are you doing?
I'm doing a little better, about the same as yesterday, but I'm walking from room to room to get things that I need, and I can talk better, and I don't get as winded right now as I was.
Very good.
That's good. You sound a lot better than you did a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I feel quite a bit better than 2 or 3 days ago. Sure do.
Good.
Yeah, I want to keep moving so I can get more of my strength back.
Amen. Well, we're praying for you, brother.
Yeah. Well, I sure appreciate that. And I mentioned my cousin, maybe this morning or last Wednesday, I don't remember, but he was to have a quadruple bypass, I think, and everything went fine for him. He's doing well.
Very good.
His name's Tim Nobles. I think he's out in Kansas, I think.
Well, we're glad for him.
Yes.
Thank you for your prayers.
Good. Any update from Loretta?
It was a little bit busy yesterday.
A little dizzy yesterday, Brother Jan says. Need to keep praying for her too.
For sure.
Anything coming up this week for anyone?
I'm just hoping I can get better where I can start back to work.
You need to get better first.
That's right. That was a very good lesson. I often think about the fear of the Lord.
You said it's a good lesson.
Okay, good. Appreciate that. That's not the final word. We're still studying, right?
That's right. There's so much more to go.
Yeah. But I hope we can all understand the fear of the Lord fully, like he does.
And we want our faith mixed with his words. We want him to mix that.
Amen. How's Doris doing? What about Luke and his parents?
Stephen is no longer on, but they've been doing well.
Okay, well, that's good. Appreciate yes. his prayer.
Yeah.
So you're still getting to keep Luke?
Yes, sir.
That's good.
It is. It is. Nobody has to twist my arm to do that.
We got a mother over here, or a grandmother over here that's doing the same thing with a boy, Daniel.
We heard Daniel, yes. Oh, what a beautiful sound.
Yeah. The problem is he's getting a mind of his own. I guess Luke's doing the same thing, is he?
He is, yes.
What time is your friend being operated on, Francis, tomorrow morning?
I forgot what she told me. Okay, so you think it's 5:30.
Some doctors getting up early.
Right.
And that's, what kind of surgery is it?
Open heart surgery.
Bypasses?
I didn't understand that one.
Is he going to get bypasses or a valve replacement or?
Oh, I don't know. She didn't tell me that.
Mm-hmm. That's a serious operation. We'll be asking for them. What's the name again?
Sydney Reed.
You have to get me.
Okay.
Trying to listen to them.
Has anybody gotten the vaccination yet?
Not yet.
We got some negative people around here that don't.
I think grandmama got her first dose already.
Okay. We got one brave soul.
And she's supposed to have her second one. I think the 12th of February or the 11th.
Okay, we need to pray for her. I understand Johnson & Johnson has a vaccination that you only need once. The only problem is it's 60% effective. But they say it doesn't deal anything with the DNA, just a vaccination or whatever.
Does anybody else have anything coming up this week?
Young wants to know if anybody has anything else coming up this week. We had a blank last time.
Not that I can think of, nothing in particular.
We got an eye appointment, but that's nothing serious, we hope.
So you'll be leaving Wednesday and coming back Thursday, Lord willing?
Yeah, sounds like it, uh-huh. It's in Atlanta, but the eye doctor there that's a member of the church has done a pretty good job so far, Michael Walker.
Super.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Are the girls on tonight?
They were. If you're talking about my girls, which girls are you talking about?
Whoever's girls are there.
The Stoic group is coming.
Okay, that's good. We need some conversation here.
All right, you can talk now.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, girls.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, girls.
Hi, girl.
What are you doing?
Is Avery there?
What are you doing?
Not at our house tonight.
Oh, okay.
Which you would have heard already, right?
Yeah, probably.
Levi's already saying goodbye, though.
He's a man of few words.
Yeah. He can say mama and daddy very well now, though.
That's good.
What color are your pants?
What color? What color are the pants? You can usually say blue very nicely.
Blue. Like blue.
What does a bear say? A little louder. More? What does a bear say?
Oh, that was good.
Yeah. What's a rooster say? Something like that, yes. How about a monkey? Very good. We're good with animals.
What?
What do you want to talk about, girls? You can talk to them. They want to hear from you.
Well, Levi can say other things too, but he's being very quiet about it. Yeah. We're having my favorite stew tonight.
What kind?
I don't really know what it's called, but it's delicious.
Instant pot chicken and dumplings.
But I'm not having that. But I'm not having that.
It's definitely not Elora's favorite, and she thinks she's having it, but she is.
I don't want it. Don't give me it.
Laura says that.
You did have a taste. No, I'm not going to have a taste.
That Daniel talking to us?
Yes.
Can I go bring my chickens in?
No, we're not being hungry. Did you hear Daniel?
Hi, Daniel. Hi.
Say hi, Daniel. Hi, don't die. Daniel.
Yeah. Daniel. Hi. Daniel and the lion's den.
Yeah. That's the same thing, isn't it?
There's Daniel.
Oh, he disappeared.
Show Daniel again. Oh.
Can he see himself?
Not really. It's not on the big screen.
Here, I'll fix it.
Hey. Hi, Daniel. Hi. See a baby? That's Daniel.
Baby Daniel?
It's yes, Cassie, just like you.
Oh,
baby Daniel is adorable. Yeah.
Look at that baby. Look at that baby. Do you see a baby?
There's Leslie.
Can you turn us so they can see us too?
They can see us.
They can?
Yeah. You see Daniel? That's a baby.
Hey.
Oh, there's Mrs. Shara. I see her too.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Mrs. Shara.
Hello. How are you? Hey. You got a big day of school tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good, huh?
We took 2 days off this week, so we got to catch up. Or this last week.
Tattoo days are never fun.
Well, we watch this.
We normally take 1 day off a week, but last week we took two.
That was like a full week.
Yeah. No, no, no. Don't do anything crazy right now. Sit up and talk nicely.
No, I'm just showing.
No, no showing tricks.
It's not really a trick, Mom.
Ariana's interested in desserts now.
See?
Down. Ooh. Camera. To the camera.
Ooh.
And this one. I want to see.
Elora, try again.
Please, can I see too?
Thank you.
And next page. Please. Well, you're not gonna keep that.
Those two to do first dessert.
Well, look, there's a cat. Oh.
Where did the cat go? I want to see the kitty. Where did the cat go? It's on Mrs. Shara's team. Hi.
Mrs. Shara's team.
There's the kitty. Calcifer.
Calcifer.
I want to see him close up.
I'm trying.
You do.
Calcifer! Calcifer! Aw, you're a cutie little kitty. Oh.
It's Max.
Maybe.
Cute. Where? Hi.
Hi. You can show him our kitty if you want to. She likes to, transport in the box.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
he listens to the lessons too. Nope, tilt down.
Nice. Very good.
They can't see his head.
There.
Oh, the what a pretty cat. With a little cute nose.
Shirt. Yeah. A cat in your arms.
Well, we're gonna sign off for tonight. It was good talking to you guys.
Goodbye to Calcifer. Goodbye, goodbye. Goodbye, Mouse.
Say goodbye.
Say goodbye to Calcifer for me.
Goodbye.
Bye, Calcifer, Mouse. Bye, Calcifer. Bye, Mouse. Bye, Calcifer. Bye, Mouse. Where is Mouse?
Goodbye, Mrs. Shara.
Goodbye, Mrs. Shara.
That was
goodbye. Me. Goodbye, Hannah. Goodbye, George.
Goodbye, anyone. But
goodbye. They said goodbye.
Bye, Laura.
Goodbye, Block family and Johnsons and Joe.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Bye. Everybody else.
Oh.
Touch screen.